The Chilkat Valley Preschool might have finally found a new home in Haines School, and Haines School Board budget talks turn bleak. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Chilkat Valley Preschool might have a new home in Haines School starting in 2016. Talks between the preschool and school representatives became public at a school board workshop Thursday night. The private nonprofit Chilkat Valley Preschool has been scrambling to find a new home for more than a year. The Haines Borough owns the preschool's current building, and the Borough Assembly has given them a deadline to move out. The preschool had plans to buy a building, but that didn't work out. Here's preschool board member Alyssa Henry at Thursday's workshop.
It just seems like a lot for us as an organization to take on ownership of a building, and we really struggled with that, like if it's financially doable, if it makes sense for the future of our community as a whole, and being involved with the school is always our first option, so we are really happy to be approached by members of the school board and the school to explore that option again.
Last March, the preschool approached a joint school board borough assembly meeting with the idea of setting up a modular building for the preschool on school property. That didn't go far because some board and assembly members were uncomfortable with a private nonprofit operating on public school property. After the Thursday workshop, School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri explained why she and Superintendent Ginger Jewell decided to revisit this option with the preschool.
You know, we've kind of been following the progress of what was happening with them.
When they found out the preschool's plan to buy a building fell through,
we contacted them and asked if they were interested in having a dialogue about being on the school property.
Palmieri presented a draft memorandum of understanding to the school board. It's a 5-year agreement starting August 1st, 2016. The preschool would pay only utilities. They wouldn't pay rent. Palmieri says she feels strongly that this isn't about making a profit. As for where the preschool would be located, Palmieri says originally they were thinking of putting a modular building on the school property, but that wasn't financially doable for the preschool. In the draft memorandum, the office, classroom space occupied by the superintendent, and the kindergarten first grade area are listed as possibilities. School board member Sarah Swinton brought up this concern.
I'm a little bit worried about this 5-year plan. Wonder if all of a sudden we get a boost of kids and we need space and we're going to contract with them and we need the rooms that they're in. What do we do then?
Enrollment at Haines School has declined over the past several years, but Swinton said you never know what could happen. The board decided that in the memorandum of understanding, there should be a clause that says if school attendance spikes and the room the preschool is in is needed, they would have to move. Besides that one concern, the board was supportive of helping the preschool. Here's Lisa Schwartz.
And then these are potential customers for our school, and that, and to me, that kind of says it all as far as just needing to, I feel like I can support this.
The school board will give their official decision about whether to move forward with this at the May 12th meeting. Then the district administration and the preschool would work out a final agreement. Chilkat Valley Preschool has raised about $100,000 toward the goal of buying a new facility. Preschool office manager Renee Hoffman says if the agreement with the school works out, the preschool board would decide how to use that $100,000 at a meeting in June. After talking about the preschool at the Thursday school board workshop, the discussion turned to the fiscal year 16 budget. Right now, the school district is facing a $250,000 deficit in a $4.6 million budget. And that doesn't include some potential major changes, like state cuts to education and possible salary raises from teacher negotiations.
On the front page in the revenue, you can see the fee rate.
Business manager Judy Erickson walked the board through the FY16 budget line by line. At the end of it, school board president Anne-Marie Palmieri had this to say.
So, with
think we should look at cutting something.
We have to.
Some things out of this budget, so.
School board members and administrators kept saying there's not a lot of fluff in the budget. Superintendent Ginger Jewell said they've worked to cut expenses about $500,000, but there's still a $260,000 shortfall, and that deficit could grow even more. Board members and administrators agreed either this year or the next, personnel will need to be cut. Principal Cheryl Stickler.
Our budget's in poor shape. We know that cuts have to come. And I'm looking through this budget, and I'm seeing personnel. We don't have fluffy stuff in here.
The school district does have a reserve that could cover at least some of the shortfall. $671,000 in cost savings from past years have been carried over. Several board members and administrators favor using some of the fund balance before cutting staff. Here's Dean of Students, Renee Martin.
Rather than trying to cut personnel at this moment in time, couldn't we dip into those reserves and take it as a little bit of a stopgap year?
Jewell said using reserve funds is a temporary fix to a bleak budget reality.
That is a one-year Band-Aid on open heart surgery.
Palmieri said some of the fund balance will definitely be used this year. The question is how much.
But we want to make sure that the budget we have is sustainable. And if we use 60% of our fund balance this year, then we're in a situation for next year of, you know, having to make drastic cuts and not having any cushion.
There's still a lot of things that could change the budget picture. One, state funding is in flux. Two, the borough is receiving about $120,000 in federal Secure Rural Schools money. Borough manager Dave Sosa says he will propose giving about $40,000 of that to the school district. Three, staff salaries are still in negotiations. And four, the board hasn't decided whether to spend money on the technology initiative, Engaging the Future. When Palmieri asked school board members if they had any more ideas about areas to cut expenses, silence. So Palmieri directed the board's finance committee to comb through the budget and come up with some potential cuts. The group also agreed they couldn't decide anything for good until the state finalizes its budget. And now this story from the CBC in Whitehorse. Some Yukon politicians want to know when the territory will receive funding from the United States for improvements to the Alaska and Haines highways. Liberal leader Sandy Silver is pushing the Yukon government on its efforts to secure U.S. funding for the Shakwak Highway Project. The project covers the road between Haines to the American border, just past Beaver Creek. Canada and the U.S. agreed more than three decades ago to share the cost of maintaining this road, but in recent years, the U.S. Congress cut that funding, and Canadian officials are wondering if the U.S. is going to hold up its end of the bargain. Silver says the Yukon government has spent $180,000 to hire a South Carolina firm to lobby the U.S. Congress to reinstate Shakwak funding. He wants the government to explain what it has to show for it and for the premier's trip to Washington.
It has been over a year since the premier traveled to Washington and took a bunch of pictures and posted them to his Twitter account about the important senators that he met. The trouble is that we still don't know if the Shakwak agreement will ever be funded again by the United States government.
Resources Minister Scott Kent says Yukon is also working with the Alaska government on the issue. The Haines Borough in 2013 added the Shakwak project to its list of legislative priorities to the state. The Assembly also passed a resolution in support of continued U.S. funding. Kent added, "The Americans rely heavily on the transportation link, and he's confident that dependence will translate into dollars." And Sea Alaska's earnings are up this year, but critics say the Native Corporation is still losing money. Stay tuned for that story at 6:30 on Alaska News Nightly. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. And a big thank you to everyone who helped get KHNS to 1,000 likes on our Facebook page. Following us on Facebook is a great way to keep up with KHNS news and other happenings at the radio station.